Come on and give Jesus one praise, would you? Come on. Amen. It's great to be with you this morning. It's great to have family. Amen. It's great to have the family of God. You know, I was just pondering this week about family. I was thinking to myself, you know, it's wonderful to have the camaraderie, to have the friendship in the body of Christ. We're talking about honoring a little bit this morning. The reason my dad does what he does, hey, give this person a hand, that's a form of honoring. And the Word of God says that when we honor others, that we ourselves become honored. And that's kind of contrary to the culture we live in. The culture that we live in says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But it's in that sense. I want to honor somebody this morning. You got that picture up there. That's my wife, Samantha. She's next door with the kids this morning. When I put that picture up this morning, she said, that's a terrible picture. I said, I love that picture. We were just on the beach, and we went in there and got another cup of coffee, and then there's one more. She is my lady. That's Samantha. That's my wife. Will you give her a hand this morning? Family's important, amen. How many of you know you got to have some place to go home to? How many of you know you need somebody to go home to? I tell you, I do, amen. Mr. Booty's back there, he's hollering at me. Another picture I wanted to show you this morning, too, family. Family's important. I'm gonna kind of dip into that a little bit. This is my family. My dad was talking about family a little bit this morning, and I was walking up the aisle to go back there because I was a little nervous to go back to the bathroom, and Todd Cross is coming down to take the offering. He kind of gives me an elbow, and he's family. You know, we're family here this morning, relationship, friendship, and we value that so much. I want to take you into the Word of God this morning, and I want to kind of give you the backdrop of John 18. John 18 begins to talk about Jesus being betrayed and arrested. John 19 talks about the Jesus being sentenced to death and the crucifixion. Again, into the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and then John 21 talks about the resurrection of Jesus, and we're going to get into that in the next month or so, amen? That's the time of year. And John 21 says this. I want to read this to you, and I want to kind of keep that picture up there, keep that in mind a little bit about the subject of family. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, named and Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Peter said, I go a-fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they all went out in the boat, and they caught nothing all night. How many of you know that's a tough night? At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. But he called out to them, fellows, have you caught any fish? They said, no. Then he said to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul the net in because there were so many fish. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic. For he had stripped for work. He worked so hard that he worked his clothes off. That's a tough morning. Amen. Jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the load to the net to shore. For they were about 100 yards off ashore. They got there. They found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking on the fire. Now listen. I want to give you the backdrop of this a little bit. John 21 It's describing this. The crucifixion just happened. Jesus is let off like a thief. He's treated like the lowest member of society. And here comes Peter in this portion of scripture. He says, "Listen, I'm out of here." Now this Peter just isn't anyone. Okay, this Peter, you see this family here. We're tight knit family. I believe that we're like family. Look at your neighbor and say, we're family. We're like family, but how many of you know family goes through seasons and tough times? They get in predicaments that they don't know how to take care of. Hello. And that's where Peter, and that's where Matthew, and that's where these men of God are, the family of God is in this season. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, in Jesus' name, do what you do. Lord, this is my prayer this morning, that you would use me. I don't need to be heard. I don't need to be seen. All the flesh glory we set aside. I ask you this morning that you would use me. You know this is the request of my heart. Use me this morning. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? I want to point your attention to this portion of Scripture. I told you this morning that these men were the family of God. They were handpicked by Jesus himself, and they were walking with Jesus. How many of you know walking with God will lead you to confusing times? The world would lead you to believe, people would lead you to believe that if you're part of a family like this, or a part of a family like the disciples were, they were a part of God's family. They were handpicked, they were chosen, and by the look, by appearance, it would look like they had it all together. Everything was perfect. They had no issues or problems. There was a roadmap for their life, and they just followed along with it, and they were on easy street. But quite the contrary of what the truth is. Truth is, we all face things in life. We all get into moments in life that make us go, where are you? God, where are you? And this is where Peter is. Peter gets in this predicament. He gets in this situation, and he finds himself saying, I go a-fishing. And the first thing I want to point out to you, that Peter, the Scripture describes, that he didn't go alone. That the moment his background was fishing, he was a fisherman, he was called. Jesus said to him, I'll make you a fisher of men, but all of a sudden, he goes walking off with this family of God, and all of a sudden, guess what? What happens? All these guys start following behind him. Are you with me? They start following behind him, and the disciples were in trouble. It wasn't popular to be with Jesus anymore. They were wondering, is it worth serving God? Have you ever been there? Have you ever hit a bump in the road and said, is this really worth it? And Peter goes fishing because it's what he knew. But the rest of these men start following. They have absolutely no idea what anything about fishing. But because Peter was such a leader, Peter was such an influencer, Peter was such a commanding leader, that all of a sudden these guys that aren't even, you got a physician going with them. You got these other guys with other talents. One was a tax collector. You got these guys following with them. They don't know anything about fishing, but here's what they do know. They know that Peter is a leader, and they know wherever he goes is where I go. And I want to tell somebody in this place today, if you're a leader, if you're impacting people, and I can look around this room, and I'd like to shout out a couple of names of leaders in the city, leaders on the street, leaders maybe not on the side that they should be on, but everything you do, everything you say, where your foot lays, there are people watching you, and they're following right behind you. Whether they're following up, oh, I'm going to do the work of my Father, Peter said at one time, or I'm going fishing, I'm getting out of here because times are getting rough. People are following you as a leader. And I want to add this in too. If you think that people don't know what you're up to, let me just lean into the Holy Spirit, what I feel right now. They know exactly what you're doing. They know exactly what you're up to. They know exactly what you say and do. If you're a leader, people know. Hello. So the first thing that Peter says, he says, I go a-fishing. I go a-fishing is like saying this, I'm going back. That's my first point, point number one. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going back. Peter says, I'm going back. I'm going back. And what I want to tell you this morning, don't go back. Don't go back to using drugs and alcohol. Don't go back to an illicit relationship. Don't go back to living the way you used to live. Don't go back to not showing up to work. Don't go back to not being faithful to your wife. Don't go back to the conversations and the texts you know you shouldn't be having. Don't go back. Somebody say, don't go back. Point one, do not go back. And Peter goes back to what he knows. It wasn't fishing like me and Gabe going for a stroll, throwing our fishing line. It wasn't like that. Peter was a fisherman by trade. Going back for Peter, going back to fishing, was going back to who he used to be. Are you with me this morning? Don't go back. Don't go back to who you used to be. Don't go back to where you used to walk. Don't go back to where you used to tread. What happens when Peter gets out there is he says, I'm great at fishing, guys. I can get you a job. I can get you some fish. I can get you hooked up. This Jesus stuff went sideways. But let me tell you, I know how to fish because I've done it all my life. Follow me and we'll go back to doing what I know I can be successful at. But what happens when he goes fishing is he finds out what worked before won't work anymore. Which brings me to my second point. What worked before for Peter may not work now. And God is a God who not only opens doors, and we pray those kind of prayers. God, if you'll open a door. God, if you'll show me a new job. God, if you'll give me this. God, if you'll open a door to that. God, if you'll give me a wife. God, if you'll give me a husband. God, if you'll give me an opportunity. But I came this morning to tell you that the God that opens doors is a door closer too. There are things that he shuts the door to that you can never return back to. Things that you were good at. Peter was a great fisherman. He was a businessman. If you read the context of the New Testament, he had several boats. He had a shipping business. He knew how to make money. He knew how to make it work. He goes out fishing, and he can't catch a thing. God had shut the door. And I'm a firm believer. I know I'm speaking to someone's spirit. You've been knocking up against something that you used to do. It used to work. It used to happen this way. It used to happen this way. I'm here to tell you this morning, God might have shut the door. The opportunity. Let me put it in this context. I used to love the car business. I used to love, you know, selling cars. I used to love the money in it. I used to love the aspects of the business. But I know in my spirit that God has shut the door. The opportunity to go back is not gone. But the fixing in my spirit, the sense in my spirit, the season in my spirit, the aptitude in my heart has nowhere to go back to. God has shut the door. He shut the door. Peter says, I got this, guys. If I don't know anything else, I know how to go fishing. I'll make this work. I know how to get this thing done. But God is teaching Peter, and he's teaching the rest of us. Without Jesus, you can't do anything. When God shuts the door or changes a season or assignment over your life, it's over. Thank you, Jesus. God will sometimes let us work all night, labor all night, work so hard that we work our clothes off, the scripture describes, until we're humbled enough to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Let me just say this to you, too. You're a new Christian. You've been coming to church a year. You've been coming to church a couple years. The problem with committing your life to the Lord, the things that used to work in your past, they just don't feel right anymore. And you'll find yourself in a position where you say, I don't know why I don't like this. I don't feel the way I used to feel when I'm doing this. I don't understand it. God has shut the door. And I thank God for not only open doors, but I thank God for shut doors. after a long night, after tons of work, tons of effort, still nothing, working harder than ever, less to show for than ever before, still nothing. Which leads me to my third point. Say, all of the sudden. The Bible says, all of the sudden, there is a man. Peter's down in the boat. He's out on water. He's aggravated. He's frustrated. He's fed up because what he used to know, he knew that it would work when he went out there, but he got out there during the task and found out all of a sudden it don't work anymore. He's frustrated. He's hot. He's bothered. And all of a sudden, this stranger comes walking down the shore like he's walking down the shore of some of your lives. He's walking down the shore of the beach, and he yells out to Peter. He says these simple words that I think is so important. It's so pertinent to our lives. He said, children, have you any meat? What's that mean? It means this. It's a place where you have to look and see exactly what is going on in your boat. Jesus didn't say to Peter, hey, Peter, what's going on over here? Hey, what's going on over there? What's going on in your neighbor's boat? What's going on in the... I said this in the first service. I love the point. My dad, for years and years and years, he's been pastoring here in the city. I can tell you, I stand as a living testimony. I've never heard him talk bad about another ministry. Never. Another ministry in the city. Never heard him say a negative word. Never heard him say a spiteful word. Because he was too worried about what was going on in his boat. Where he was assigned. The task that he had at hand. The salvations that were hinged on his attitude and spirit and heart. He didn't worry about the neighbor's boat. He worried about his own boat. And I tell you that this morning. There's people in here, you've been concentrated on what everybody else is doing. But God is saying, what is happening in your boat? This is the moment to look at yourself. People are always worried about what's happening in your boat. But Jesus is speaking to history, to generations to come. He says, children, have you any meat? Worry about what's happening in your boat. Come on, say that. Worry about what's happening in your boat. I wanted to say this, and I forgot to in the first service. Leaders, be careful how you lead. If you always look at someone else's boat and are critical about what they have going on, eventually you'll have a bunch of people looking in your boat telling you what you've done wrong. What we don't know is what's coming down the pike. When we were kids, I can remember a couple scenarios, and I was talking to my brother Ben about this, where kids would do crazy things. Kids would do crazy stuff, and they'd go up in front of the church, and this is what I've done, and this is what's going on, and this is what's happening, and here's what the Word of God says about that. We don't know history, so I don't need to worry about what your kids are doing. I don't need to worry about what this one's doing. I don't need to worry about what that one's doing, because I can't write the history of my kids. I need you to pray for my kids while I'm praying for your kids, and hold me up when I'm about to fall, and I'll hold you up when you're about to fall. I'm talking about a critical spirit. What is happening in your boat? Are you with me? Children, have you any meat? Which brings me to my last point. I want to say this to you. There are people in this room, you have abnormal failure. You've failed over and over and over. You're depressed. You're discouraged, like Peter was. Threw the net out 100 times. Tried 100 times. It's not for not having any effort. The Bible says in Luke that they toiled all night and caught nothing. You've put in a ton of effort. You've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. If you have abnormal failure, I want to encourage you to do two things. These are two sub points. Ask the Lord, what do I need to understand about what I'm doing to move forward? Are you hearing that this morning? And the second thing I do personally is I go get with someone who wins a lot. See, culture teaches us, be a hater. If someone has more than you do, if someone does better than you do, if someone succeeds more than you do, hate on them over there. But here's what the Word of God says. If someone keeps winning over and over, especially in this room, especially in this climate, especially in the body of Christ, if someone keeps winning, go to them and say, how do you keep doing it? How do you keep doing it? Why everything you lay your hand to, it prospers and succeeds. And here's what's going to happen. They're going to explain to you why God's hand is on them in a powerful way. What's happening in my boat? Point five. One writer says that Peter responds to Jesus and says, Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. My last point is, Peter says these words. I love these words. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I drop my net again. Can I tell you something? In spite of past failures, in spite of a night season, in spite of issues in a family, in spite of a daughter being away from you, in spite of a son walking away, in spite of not catching anything all night, we serve a God of the nevertheless. Everything looks bad, but I'll say nevertheless. I'm out of money. I'm out of time. It looks like it's too late, but nevertheless. Peter didn't get so depressed that he couldn't listen anymore. We have to be careful to continue listening even after abnormal losses. The other option is to believe it's too late, that you've missed your season, that you can't do it. And I refuse to embrace that option. It's morning time. It's morning time, and Peter, he's sitting in the boat, right? Can you picture it? He's been out there all night. You know what happens when you bring people along with you? People follow you, and you get out there. You get out doing something in life. And you have failure after failure after failure. You know what happens? You get embarrassed. You fail so many times. You struggle so many times that your pride is shot. Your head is hung. And you say, is there ever going to be a way out of it? Is the morning ever going to come? Morning comes. Still no fish. Still nothing. But Jesus is up at the shoreline. He says, have you any meat? He says, no, I haven't. Haven't done a thing. Jesus says this. He says, take the net that was on the left side. The Bible actually, it names the side. It's over on the left side. Pull it up out of the water. I know you don't have anything. God asks the question, have you any meat? It's like when he asked Adam, where art thou? Cain, where is thy brother? Children, have you any meat? The God of the question is the God of the answer. He says to him, cast your net over to the right side of the boat. Peter, in an act of humility, I hope you hear that this morning. Peter, in an act of humility, Peter, in an act of obedience, we've been fishing all night. I'm beat tired. I'm depressed. I should be at the market right now getting some cash, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll cast it out again. Here's what happens. They cast that net out. And all of a sudden, there's so many fish in that net, they can't even pull it in. I want to tell you this morning, you say, Ryan, I've had so many abnormal losses. I failed so many times. I feel like the biggest screw up in the world. Ryan, I'm 35 years old. What in the world am I doing with my life? I'm in a mess. I have nothing to show for anything. What do I do at this point? Calls unto the name of the Lord. God gives him one concept that changes the entire strategy of what he's doing. You know the amazing part to me? The boat that he was on, it can't be that much wider than the boat that's sitting here. You're talking maybe 5 feet, maybe 10 feet. They cast it onto the other side. It's not a physical change. Are you hearing me? He didn't make a physical change. Yeah, he threw the net over 10 feet. It was a spiritual change. It was a change of humility. It was a change of obedience. It was a change of God, I need you. I asked the Lord, what do I tell them about a change in strategy? He said, tell them this. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you'll find. And knock, and the door will be opened to you. I want to encourage you this morning. God is at the doorway of your heart. You've been in a night season. You've been crying out, Lord, what in the world am I doing out here? You've been in a night season. What in the world? How do I move on from where I am? You've been on in a night season. God is saying, come to me for a new strategy. Come to me for a new concept. And here's the incredible part about this. And I'm closing with this. You know what humility does? I don't know if I was sitting in that boat all night and I worked until my clothes came off and Jesus came up the shoreline and he was a stranger. I don't know if I could listen, if I could be humble enough to just, I'll throw the net over here one more time. You are one decision away from a breakthrough. He didn't hold their blessing. He didn't keep it. He gave it all to them through an act of humility. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. You say, Ryan, I need a change of strategy. I need the God of the answer to holler out to me from the shoreline. Lift your hand right now. Hands up all over this place. All over this house. Thank you that you're the God of the answer. Thank you that when we walk in humility and obedience unto your name, even when we look a little stupid, even when we look a little funny, even when we look like we don't want to, Father, but you join with us. Thank you that you're the God of the answer, our altar people, if you'd come down. Thank you, Lord, that your grace and your mercy is enough, that your kindness, Father, pulls us from life's depravity. Thank you, Lord, that addictions bow at your name. Thank you, Lord, that you can change the season of our life with one word. Drop your net to the other side. Thank you for it this morning. Thank you for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I said this morning that sometimes you need somebody to speak into your life. That's what these people are up here for. That's what they come down here for every single week. You need somebody to agree with you in prayer this morning. Don't leave without coming down here. I can tell you, you are like family, whether you like it or not. We love you. We care for you. If you need prayer for anything this morning, don't leave without coming down here. God bless you. Thursday night is going to be a powerful night here in the house. Don't miss it. Be blessed. Hey, enjoy the 50-degree day, right? Amen. Oh, I.